Hello and welcome to the Devon Wildlife Warden podcast, hosted by me, Emily Marbe. I'll be bringing together some of the latest news and developments from wildlife wardens across the borough, as well as ideas on how you can get involved with conservation on a local and national level too. As this is the first episode, I'm going to start off by telling you a bit about the scheme, how I got involved, and how you can as well if you want to. The Wildlife Warden scheme I'm involved with is based in the Teignbridge Borough in Devon. Teignbridge stretches from holiday hotspot Dawlish on the coast to Moreton Hampstead, which falls within Dartmoor National Park. As you can imagine, this means that we have a diverse range of habitats within our borough. In Dawlish alone, we have the Warren, which is a key part of the ex-estuary special protection area, and a Ramsar site, and that means that it's an area of international importance for wildlife. It provides the main roosting site for huge numbers of wading birds and wildfowl that spend the autumn and winter on the estuary. The Warren is also designated as a special area of conservation for its dune grassland, humid dune slacks, and the tiny, rare petalwort that grows there. As well as fixed and mobile dunes, there are meadows, copses, reed beds, ponds, and salt marsh, and the whole sand spit is of considerable geomorphological interest. Try saying that after you've had a few beers. Over near Newton Abbott, we've got several more notable sites, one of which is Allerbrook Nature Reserve. Here you'll find a mosaic of very varied habitats, which together support a wide variety of flora and fauna. The site is dominated by a patchwork of flowery grassland and scrub, with other habitats including reed beds and the river itself. Many species of flowering plants have been recorded, including a large bee orchid colony, which is actually a pretty scarce plant in Teignbridge. Allerbrook is very closely linked with the Teign estuary and is used as a green corridor by many different species of wildlife. These include a wide range of butterflies, grasshoppers and dragonflies as well. Kingfishers and otters have also been spotted there. On the moorland side of the district, we have East Dartmoor National Park. This reserve is internationally important for its extensive upland oak wood, heathland and mires. These habitats support a great range of plants and animals, from abundant species like the greater spotted woodpecker to the rare blue ground beetle and barbastral bat. In recognition of its nature conservation work, the reserve is legally protected as a special area of conservation and site of special scientific interest. As you can imagine then, we have a lot of lovely wildlife to look after on our doorstep in our corner of Devon. The Wildlife Warden scheme I'm involved with is run by the Action on Climate in Teignbridge Ecology Group, or ACT for short. The idea is to have wildlife wardens in every Teignbridge parish who can help their local nature in any way they possibly can. Now that might be through promoting wildlife gardening, recording local wildlife, improving local habitats, working with clubs and schools, keeping an eye on planning applications and development, and more. So how did I get involved? Well, I have always had a passion for ecology and conservation. I went to university to study science and the media, and sometime in the early 2000s, I read a report called The State of the Biosphere. I was captivated. The report spoke of overpopulation, of soil erosion, habitat and species loss, even freshwater depletion. It made me think, how could we, the human race, an evolved, intelligent species, capable of understanding and moulding the world around us, be walking into an environmental catastrophe with the full knowledge of the damage we're doing? Much of it difficult to reverse. Over time, I came to understand the significance of politics, finance, and big business, and I felt defeated. What could I really do? How could I really change anything? So I did what many graduates do. I put on my blinkers, accepted what society told me to do, and chased the almighty pound, so that I could buy a house and establish financial security for the family I hoped to have. After all, cash is king. But in recent years, my situation has changed. I moved to Devon 4 years ago, something I had wanted to do since I was a child. I had a son and I wanted to teach him the importance of taking an interest in the world around us. A I started to meet other people involved in conservation and to understand that what we do on a personal level really does count and really does help. So when I saw the advert, I applied to be a wildlife warden. It's a voluntary role and was only asking for a few hours a week. We were encouraged to take on whatever projects we feel comfortable getting involved with. Some of us plant trees, some of us send off samples for citizen science projects, some of us like to talk. There's no pressure to do the things we don't feel comfortable with, and I think that's why the scheme is so great. It's totally open to our own personal interpretation, but with the added bonus of a support network and training opportunities to help us along our way. So I did some basic training via Zoom, and Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt, I'm a wildlife warden, and here's my first podcast. Me personally? Well, I'm based within Abbots Kurzweil Parish. I'm hugely fortunate to own a small cottage with a couple of acres of woodland attached. We do our best to leave it alone for the wildlife, managing it for species diversity as best we can and harvesting firewood from deadfall or thinning trees only. We get a wonderful variety of birds and other wildlife. It really is something special. Well, to us it is anyway. Now, you might be listening to this podcast and thinking, well, that's all very well, but I don't live in Teignbridge or own my own woods. What interest is all this to me? Well, the great thing about what we're doing is that it's highly transferable and relevant to other areas of southwest England. After all, our wildlife doesn't read a map and keep neatly to parish boundaries, and all wildlife refuges need to be interconnected by wildlife corridors and supported by diverse habitats in order to thrive, and we all need to play a part in making that happen. However, if you do live in Teignbridge and want to learn more or get involved, the great news is that you can. ACT are still looking for more wildlife wardens, so I'll put some information in the episode notes so you can get in touch if you wish to. Before recording this episode, I reached out to other wildlife wardens to ask if they have any news they'd like to share about what they've been up to, and here are some of the responses I received. Hannah and Samantha are our King Stainton wardens. On Saturday the 13th of March, they helped the Town Council plant 100 trees in Clifford Park. That's the park by Coronation Road and Longford Lane, adjacent to the Royal British Legion Club. There's now been around 400 trees planted since November. Fantastic work, Hannah and Samantha, and of course all of the Town Council bods involved. Over in Chudley, there's a group called Chudley Wild. Now they have been working on a Gardening for Wildlife project. The aim is to build a community nature reserve across the parish and to encourage people to plant nectar and pollen-rich flowers. To encourage this, they're giving away free wildflower seeds every Saturday at the market. Anyone who meets the criteria for a wildlife-friendly garden can claim a free sign, and I'm thrilled to report that signs are going up all over and around the town. If you want to find out about getting a sign or would like to pick up some free seeds, why not pop along to the market next Saturday? Not far from me in Abbots Kurzweil, there's a parish called Ogwell, and there's a very active little ecology group there called Ogwild. They have been making use of the Devon Wildlife Trust's Treescapes project, and they've planted 14 trees around the parish via the scheme. Now these trees can be found in Canada Hill School, where they've planted a crabapple and a downy birch. The Nature Reserve have planted 4 grey willow and a downy birch. And Rowan has been placed on the green next to the old tree stump. At Browning's Walk, they've planted a crabapple and a field maple, and in Tor Gardens, a rowan and a crabapple. It should be noted that these are pretty small saplings, and it will take time, but they've been given the appropriate protection. Do look out for these saplings while you're out and about in Ogwell. Now, before I continue, I'll tell you a bit more about the Saving Devon's Treescapes programme, in case you'd like to get involved too. Devon's treescapes are stunning and crucial habitats for so much wildlife, but they are under threat from ash dieback, which is estimated to kill at least 90% of Devon's ash trees in the coming years. In fact, we have a fair bit of this in our own little woods and are currently working to mitigate its effects. Ash dieback is potentially therefore very destructive, but everybody can be a part of the solution. Devon Wildlife Trust is leading the way on behalf of the Devon Ash Dieback Resilience Forum, and they're looking for Devon's communities to get involved and help them to save Devon's precious treescapes. They're doing this by supporting local communities across the county to plant and nurture thousands of replacement trees. Now, these obviously won't be ash trees because that wouldn't really resolve the problem, but they will be other native Devon species, including oak, field maple, rowan, crabapple, hawthorn, birch, and hazel. The project enables people to care for and celebrate our treasured treescapes, supporting local action for wildlife and climate change. The project can offer free trees, or WIPs, for planting in your garden or any land where you have permission. Devon Wildlife Trust are giving these away at local distribution hubs, where you can collect a free cell-grown tree, a planting guide, and tree protection. Each hub has between 200 and 400 trees to give away and will be run by local volunteers. So here are the details of a few of these hubs. Now, we've got one that's been going since the 16th of March, and that's at Torbay Recycling Centre. The Heavertree Community Cafe in Exeter will be hosting a hub from the 3rd of April onwards, and Bovey Tracy Community Centre will be hosting from May, but they haven't actually sort of given the exact dates yet. Of course, if you are going to go along and see if you can get yourself some free trees, you do need to remember to maintain social distancing and be respectful to other people who are there. I'll include a link in the episode notes in case you'd like to find out more or offer a site for a future hub. In Ogwell Old Village, the Ogwell team have also worked hard to restore the gardens outside Rose Cottage. This was no small task. It involved a planning application to remove an old pine, building up the retaining wall, and collecting additional soil to fill the beds. I'm particularly impressed by the method they used to achieve this, because they spent quite a lot of time clearing runoff silt from the roadside and barrowing it by hand over to the beds before planting up. Brilliant work, guys. I have no doubt that you'll be seeing plenty more butterflies and bees along there this spring. Make sure you take a look next time you're passing Rose Cottage. In slightly more national news, I am sure that you'll be thrilled to learn that a white-tailed eagle flew over Team Bridge during sometime around the 7th or 8th of February. And then it spent a month between the Erm and Yelm estuaries. Now, white-tailed sea eagles were released on the Isle of Wight in 2019 and 20. It's simply amazing news that they've now made it to Devon. I'm going to pop a bit more information about that project in the notes for this episode. In other more national news, there is currently a proposal going through Parliament to give hedgehogs added protection by way of safeguarding their nest sites. Now, it needs 100,000 names to be debated in Parliament, and with the dramatic decline in hedgehog numbers, more protection really is needed. So again, I'll include a link in the episode notes if you'd like to add your name to this petition. And while we're on the subject of hedgehogs, they are waking up from hibernation. So if you see one, be sure to log it on the Big Hedgehog Map. The data is shared with national biological recording schemes, and it helps us to understand changes in the distribution of hedgehogs across the UK. I'll also include a link for that in the episode notes. Now, if the projects I've spoken about so far feel a bit beyond the limits of the sorts of things you would want to get involved with, do not fear. I'm going to speak a little bit more now about wildlife gardening, because it's something everybody can easily get involved with at home. And it can also have a really beneficial effect for your local wildlife. Now, I thought I'd do this in a slightly self-indulgent manner and read you a poem I recently wrote for our parish magazine. It's called How Would You Like to Be? How would you like to be a helper for the birds and bees, a champion for mice and voles, for little bugs in tiny holes, for foxes, badgers, moles and shrews, something helpful you can do. Water is the stuff of life. So add a pond, or something like, a little dish, or bath for birds. It all helps, haven't you heard? Plant seeds that help the butterflies, and bees and bugs as they fly by. Lavender, sunflower, cosmo, teasel, great for bugs, and your easel. Another thing that you can do is hang a bird box up, or two. Or a house for bugs or frogs. Or some nicely rotting logs. A leafy pile can help as well, or a bog pond would be swell. Try not to cut or prune too much,
provide the wildlife with a crutch, by way of shady food and cover, perhaps a place to find a lover. An insect romance would be great to help keep food on others' plates. Keep chemicals at bay if poss, try not to be the garden boss. Let nature find its own way to keep the bugs and weeds at bay. Companion planting could be tried, or simply set a patch aside for nature's needs and not our own, because everybody needs a home. Hedgehogs can be helped by you with holes in fences to get through. A compost heap can help provide natural food for soil to thrive. This spring, perhaps you can do one thing from this list or two. Now, there are a ton of ideas in this poem, and if you're feeling inspired and would like to get involved with some wildlife gardening, check out the links in the episode notes for more information on some of the projects I have mentioned. Something else you can do at home at this time of year is go plant spotting. Plant Life published some wonderful spotting sheets, which are free to download and use. It's a great way to learn about identifying and naming plants, and it's very much a child-friendly activity. I did the March plants one with my 7-year-old son, and he really enjoyed finding the daffodils and celandine and violets and other plants he could see in the pictures along our local fields and hedgerows. Devon Wildlife Trust also publish spotting sheets, so if you're feeling like seeking out slightly more adventurous organisms, why not try their spring stuff guide? On there, you're challenged to look or listen for things like cuckoos, toads, swifts, hares, butterflies, and other spring into summer plants and animals. Again, I'll pop a link to both sheets in the episode notes so you can print one off too and get spotting. Now, that's about it for now from the Devon Wildlife Warden podcast. If you do have any eco news you'd like to share for the next episode, please feel free to send it across. For now, farewell, and I hope you feel inspired to do something, however small, for your local wildlife. This podcast was written, presented, and produced by me, Emily Marbe, with music by Scott Holmes Music.